I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. They've been making beautiful music together since 1973, a bunch of guys from the neighborhood in East Los Angeles. They used to find gigs wherever they could, including their fair share of weddings. Los Lobos is that East LA group. They made news a couple months back by canceling gigs in Arizona after that state passed its controversial anti-illegal immigration bill. They tour almost all the time, it seems, but now they're backing up a new CD, Tin Can Trust. It's getting reviews as one of their best. Here's a taste of the new CD and the song, Burn It Down.
It's only dignity I hurt. But once I go, there is no coming back. Throw away all that I one time had. I'll burn it down. Gonna burn it down.
Joining us here in Studio 4B are three members of the five-man ensemble. David Hidalgo is a lead vocalist, guitar player, accordion, writer of many of the group's compositions. Also with us, Cesar Rosas. He's another lead vocalist, guitarist, and writer. And the new guy in the group, Steve Berlin. He does sax and keyboards. He's a relatively new guy. He joined the group in 1984. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Now, we heard a bit from the new CD, and I read someplace that you recorded in a very spare studio in East L.A. that didn't even have a couch. You had to bring one in.
Yeah, that's the place. You've been there before.
I heard about it. How come? Seems like you could have had a couch or something. What did you just wanted to get back to what?
A friend of ours owns the place, and is back in East L.A., and it felt good to go back and...
A lot of great Mexican restaurants are there around.
Yeah.
Well, you wanted to add something?
Yeah.
So really, what did draw you back there? You just felt, was it the place you wanted to be all together or what?
No, I think all of that. You know, just it felt good there to be back in the, as we say, the hood, you know.
4 years, though, between albums, you know.
4 years, really?
Folks missed you.
I didn't even I didn't realize that.
But. Yeah.
Well, there was a children's album in the middle there. That we did, that Disney stuff.
Oh, that's right, yeah, of course.
It's called Los Lobos Go Disney. That was the middle point there. That was about a year and a half ago or something.
Okay. How did this one come about?
Just basically, you know,
Steve?
4 years kind of time to act. You know, that's kind of a long time for anybody. It took us a little while to figure out exactly how we were going to do it. Our last contract had ended, and it was, you know, there's lots of options these days. You know, a lot of people are self-releasing and something in between. So it took us a while to find an appropriate home for what we wanted to do, and so that took a little while, but, you know, it was definitely time for some new material. You know, we needed it. I think our fans were ready for it.
How does that work since several of you write? Is there like a meeting? What do you do? You text each other? What do you do?
In the old days, I suppose, you know, when we first started out, we sort of did all of that, you know, and especially a pre-production on the music. You know, we would write it, go to a rehearsal hall and rehearse it for a couple of weeks and then go in the studio and record it. Nowadays, we found out that it feels better, you know, be spontaneous with it, like in the studio, you know. So it kind of it gives that vibe, you know. We like the way that works with us, especially the writing too. You know, we did a lot of the writing in the studio as well.
It was just
David. Mm-hmm.
Our time was a big factor in this album. We wanted to get it out for summertime, and we didn't have any songs. So we went to the studio. We just went in and said, "Well, we have a date booked. Let's go. We got to come up with something."
Steve, you want to add anything?
Well, I wouldn't recommend it for any aspiring.
I'm scared listening to this. Okay, I'm getting that blank page sweat that I would get when I have a blank page. I'm thinking, okay.
There's a good bit of that. Well, there's definitely some terror the first couple of days. You know, you literally feel like, oh man, this is never going to work. You know, what's going to happen? Then, you know, slowly but surely, you know, the ideas kind of generate themselves, like Dave said. You know, it's just like something starts something, and then, you know, gradually a song comes together, and then another song comes together.
And then, of course, you know, the mortgage comes up, so. Scared straight, you know. Yeah. We go, okay, let's write some music.
Let's write some music. All right, well, let's play a little bit. Let's play a little bit. Let's play. What do you want to play? How about Yo Canto?
Oh,
great.
Right.
How about that? Here we go.
Le canto a mi patria. Le canto a mi gente. Le canto a mi madre. Le canto a mi padre. Y hasta el presidente. Este ritmo suave que me hace bailar. A todas las chicas, ay, qué bonitas, las pongo a gozar. Qué bonito baila, baila cumbia mi morena. Mueve la cintura y ya me hace que yo me muera. También a mis barrios.
Okay, who took the lead on this one? Say, so you took the lead on this one.
Yes.
How did it start?
Just liking that sort of rhythm, the cumbia thing. It's sort of like it's been a thing with me now for the past few years. It's music that certainly works well in our live shows and gets people moving, so it's a cool thing. You know?
Like you.
that's true. I was enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's effective.
For me, when in doubt, just write a cumbia, you know.
And I think a lot of people will be excited that you cover a Grateful Dead song in this one. How did that one, the West LA Fade Away, how did that come about?
It was...
I'm not giving away a secret, am I?
No.
All right.
No.
David?
Mm-hmm. We were invited to open for the Dead in 88. So it was a weekend of shows, you know, three nights. And the first night, we asked Jerry to, you know, if he wanted to come up and play with us. You know, so he came and played a couple of songs with us. And afterwards, he asked me if I would sit in on a song with the Dead, and I was pretty.
You said, let me think about it.
Let me check
my
schedule.
I don't know. Let's see. Okay.
So, well, the song we played was West LA Fade Away. So that's the history we have with it.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're visiting with three members of Los Lobos. They have a new CD out after 4 years. It's called Tin Can Trust. And I wanted to ask about the decision not to play in Arizona on this tour. Was it a unified decision?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean,
it was hard. I mean, because, well, just for the fact that we were playing on a reservation and a lot of people had bought tickets already and stuff, so that was hard to walk away from that.
But, why did you?
It doesn't make sense. I mean, it's an unfair law. I mean, so we had to walk away from it, you know. It was right when they had this big walk from all over the nation, you know, like a pro for the law, you know. And it was the same weekend we were playing, so it just didn't seem like a good idea.
Didn't feel right. Well, what do you make of the fact that the polls show, at least for now, that most of those surveyed in Arizona support the law? And in fact, a lot of the national polling says that nationally a majority of those surveyed support the law. Dave, what do you think about that?
Well, it depends where you go in Arizona. If you go down by the border, I'm sure it's a different, the poll's going to be different than it is up in, like, say, Tempe or Phoenix, you know. I don't think it's the whole state's opinion, you know.
Steve, you want to add something?
I think it's just an amazingly troubling aspect of the way politics are sold, that, you know, people are presented with that as a solution to anything. And clearly it's not going to, you know, can't solve anything, can't fix anything, it's not going to stop anything, it's not going to, certainly 12 million people aren't going to go anywhere. And I think people realize that it's a sad, unfortunate decision. And I frankly think it's, you know, traitorously un-American. I mean, this is what this country's built on, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, what are we if we're going to basically tell immigrants that this is not a place for them anymore.
Sometimes artists do pay a price, though, when they get involved in a political discussion. Like, I don't know if everybody remembers the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, sure.
And
sure.
They did pay a price. I mean, other people say, well, it was compensated for, but they even, to the point of some people would argue changing the name of the group in order to distance themselves from it, that they it was a painful time for them. And I did wonder whether there have been any repercussions
the version
for you
of
all.
The version of history that I read is that this country is built on dissent, and it's built into every part of the political process, from every legislature, every deliberative body is built on dissent. And what's very, you know, again, this troubling aspect is that there are voices mostly on the right that are trying to quash that and saying, well, you know, dissent is somehow un-American and, you know, you have to follow this path or you're un-American. I mean, you hear it every bloody day, and it's just a tragic simplification, and you know, I just, my hat's off to them as far as the selling job, because the selling job is practically propaganda. But it, I don't think it helps anything. I don't think it solves anything. I don't think it fixes anything. I think it just creates a more polarized consciousness in the country, which is, I don't think, an answer to anything.
Well, before we move on to a little bit more music, I did want to ask: do you feel, though, with all the debate that is taking place around this, do you feel confident, or at least some sense, that the issue is moving toward resolution, even though there's a lot of heat right now, perhaps not as much light as you would like?
I think we might have to get through more of the noisy part. It seems like the noise is overwhelming. You know, there's an expression in the music business called signal to noise, where there's like signal, which is sound, and noise, which is useless. And right now the noise to signal ratio is extremely high.
Well, thank you for making some music, despite that, feeling a little bit, a little bit sour about something. So,
you know, it's our job, right?
Okay, all right. Well, let's go back to one of the earliest songs, just because I think a lot of your fans will not forgive us if we don't play a little something from back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to play from the CD, How Will the Wolf Survive? And this song is Matter of Time.
Will it be like a home? Just a matter of time. And I hope it's something seen.
So happy.
Not another empty dream. There's a time for you and me. In a place living happily.
Why are you all cracking up in here? They're all cracking up in here where we're playing this. What's going on? What am I missing?
It's like when you listen to an old recording, right. It's like seeing a picture of yourself, like with your ears look too big or something, or you got a funny haircut. You know, it's kind of...
Lederhosen.
Yeah. One of those embarrassing moments.
It's embarrassing. I don't know.
I like the song. I really like the song. It means a lot to me, but you just hear...
Things you would do differently.
We play and sing so much lower now that it literally sounds like the track was sped up, and I know it wasn't. Yeah. It's so funny saying it.
Why do you sing so much lower now?
It's been 30
gravity.
Years.
Gravity, yeah.
It doesn't let up.
Doesn't let up, exactly.
But I do want to ask, though, number one, how you've managed to keep the relationships intact after all these years, and how you keep touring.
It's amazing.
After all these years, I think a lot of people would like to know, keeping your voice.
Extreme hatred.
You can't let the other guy win? No, seriously.
No, you know. 30,
that's a, all right, okay, all right. This will, to keep a group together longer than a lot of marriages have lasted.
Yeah.
So how do you think you do it?
We stop every once in a while and just realize, hey, we're blessed, you know, what we do. You know, having feel that, you know, you naturally look at your brother and you go, hey, you know, that was yesterday. Let's move on, you know. Just got to keep doing this. And it's a cool job, you know, cool gig.
Beats work.
Beats hot mopping in July or whatever, you know. we're blessed, man, you know.
We are.
Get to play music that we love and
it's still important to us, you know.
With our fans, and it's a cool thing.
You probably haven't been asked this in a long time, but I do have to ask, why Los Lobos?
You mean the title?
The title. The title of the group.
Oh, God, that's a long story. But way in the beginning when we got our first gig, which was actually almost a coincidence or an accident, we were forced to make up a name for the band, to put on the contract that says, you know, this the name of the band. And the gentleman who hired us, he's a good friend of ours, and he was just, you know, he says, I'm going to come back tomorrow, and you know, you got to have a name because you guys are going to play at this, you know, this function, you know.
It's Valley City Schools, yeah.
And so we were under pressure, and we thought, well, you know, we're a band of, you know, young hippie kids with beards and long hair playing Mexican folk music. We thought, well, we should name it something that's appropriate, you know, to the music that we're playing. So we came up with a lot of names, but the one that stuck was Los Lobos, you know. Los Lobos, El Este de Los Angeles, back then. I mean, just cut out a few.
Yeah.
Just to Los Lobos. We knew that it would be just Los Lobos. Yeah, it wouldn't fit the marquee.
Have you ever wanted to, you know, switch it up, something else?
No, we just set it and forget it, you know.
The Lobos.
The Los Lobos.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so what's next? What's next for you?
Just work.
Tour.
Then behind the album, and hopefully, you know, get the word out and people enjoy it. That's the whole thing.
All right. I think we're going to play the title track. I think we'll go out on Tin Can Trust. It sounds like Tin Can.
That's cool. That's
okay. Los Lobos, Tin Can Trust. It's out now. We were visiting with David Hidalgo, Steve Berlin, and Cesar Rosas. They were here with me in our studios in Washington. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
It don't look like I'm going nowhere.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Jamila Bay, Bracton Booker, Monica Evstatieva, Jasmine Garst, Lee Hill, Douglas Hopper, Zeeshan Jiwani, Alexis Kenyon, Emily Oxenschlager, Rob Sachs, Amy Ta, and Chinime Wilson. Our editors are Kyle McKinnon and Louise Clemens. Our senior supervising editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. Our senior producer is Alicia Montgomery. The program is directed by Arjun Hutchins. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. She had a hand this week from Daniel Shukin. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior producer is Tashima Walker. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.